And good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the March edition of the PRSA Southeast District Best Practice Call. This is Brad Belote, chair for the district this year. Glad you all are here. Hope everyone is safe and well. And I know probably all of our organizations, in some way, professionally as well as chapter, may be dealing with COVID-19. I know we've certainly been neck deep in it for the last few weeks, and it continues to get a little crazier as more things develop. So I certainly hope you're able to stay well. We're going to jump right into it. Today's topic, and I forgot to update that from last month, but it's extending diversity and inclusion into the community. And I'm privileged to welcome Matt Faragudo. He is a partner, client services director for Echol and Vaughn out of Raleigh. He is with the North Carolina chapter, and I am going to pass control to him so that he can change his slides. Matt, take it away.
I just wanted to thank you all at the outset for your interest and commitment to this issue, which obviously impacts, broadly the PR community and industry and communications industry as a whole. But it also affects the industries of our clients as well. And it's something that I know a number of us are struggling with and attempting to identify solutions that can help make a difference in the community. And I also wanted to say at the outset what a great partner the North Carolina chapter has been throughout this. It was actually at an NCPRSA event that the idea for this initiative came to light, and they were the first industry organization to sign on in support of the initiative. So we were thrilled about that. So I'll briefly give you a rundown of the evolution of the program and then what we hope to accomplish with it, and then leave time for questions as well. So we all recognize the problem that, there are a number of industries that we serve or are in that have a lack of diversity, and the communications industry is often worse than many of the others. We are predominantly white, we are predominantly female, and we are underrepresented in a number of classes. And so, adding to that problem is the fact that many students are just simply unaware of career pathways that are available in communications for them. They're unaware of how their skills could be put to use in a career like the ones that we have. So this is a challenge that we at Echol and Vaughn have been wrestling with for a number of years. In 2016, we had a new strategic plan as an agency, and as part of that plan, we undertook a new diversity initiative, and that involved a lot of outreach to HBCUs. It involved reaching out to classes of students who might be inclined to this sort of career in college, but we were focusing mostly on college. What we were finding is that was often too late for a number of students to even begin considering this kind of career, that they had already sort of gotten their minds fixed around a path. And so they were thinking, I want to start a business, or I want to be an accountant, or something like that. And it was harder and harder to wrestle them away once they'd picked a major and were already doing internships and things like that. And so we really started thinking about, should we be reaching further back into the career and talent pipeline to reach students even earlier than college? And so at a North Carolina Public Relations Society event, on diversity back in October of 2018, we were talking about these issues and realized that, a number of our agencies were trying to tackle it on our own. And as I'm sure you guys have found, any initiative conducted by a single agency isn't going to have a big impact, right? You're going to reach dozens, maybe, of students, but you're not going to have the kind of community-wide impact that you hope to have. That's going to be long-lasting and really make an impact in the pipeline moving on. So the idea we had was to target students in high school, and to give them greater awareness about opportunities in creative and communications fields, and to give them a one-week immersive internship experience in an agency in the Triangle area in North Carolina, with the goal of strengthening our pipeline overall. So a little bit of history. Now, there was a similar program, the original evolution of What We Do, You Can Too, as you can see the branding here, was started by the Triangle Chapter of the American Advertising Federation, and it ran for 4 years between 2013 and 2016. That was focused on bringing a single high school student into an agency for 1 week. It had different levels of success depending on the agency. And about 15 agencies participated in it. But it fizzled over time because of a lack of volunteer support. But we used this as the sort of foundation to rebuild this initiative. In 2020 and I'm sorry, in 2019,
okay.
And think about what might make sense for the modern day. So
okay.
This reformulated What We Do, You Can Too 2.0 effectively was using that same sort of model where we were recruiting high school students
okay.
and placing them in agencies.
So
the wrinkles that we put on this program were, you know, we're still going to recruit high schoolers, we're still going to place them in agencies for a week, but we also thought about the unique challenge that we're hearing from workforce and that we're experiencing from an HR development standpoint is one of the biggest gaps in preparation for a career today is the ability to solve problems on a diverse team, you know, to work together to solve a problem. And you know, so the idea of a solo internship wasn't necessarily addressing that. So instead, we shifted the model and have up to 4 interns at each agency that was hosting folks, and we would give them a problem to work on together throughout the week, and found a lot of success with this model. It also reduced the burden on the host agencies. As you can imagine, you know, having a high school student, you know, we participated in the old version of the program for 3 years, and having a high school student in your office for a week is a lot. It's a lot of time. You know, I don't want to call it babysitting, but it can feel like that at times because you're constantly providing programming. And so this created the opportunity to send them away and work together on this, and they felt a little more independent. They relied on one another, and the quality of the work skyrocketed. So we were thrilled. We also, in the old system, they gave out 1 or 2 scholarships to students who had a particularly noteworthy presentation at the end. This time, we wanted to give a stipend to all participants, recognizing we're taking 1 week out of your summer vacation to do this, and so we want to recognize, we don't want to make it a limiting factor that someone couldn't do it because they weren't earning money that week. Oh, there we go. So we conduct our recruitment in the springtime. So we're heavy in recruitment in year 2 right now. And so we go out to local schools, to high schools in the region that we've partnered with, as well as programs that serve high schoolers, whether it's the YMCA or Boys and Girls Clubs or others, that, you know, community groups, things like that, that enable us to present to a large group of high schoolers, talk to them about the program, explain to them how, you know, what we're trying to find are students with particular skills, you know, some of them are listed here, that could help them to be successful in a career like communications. And so through that process, you know, we may only get 1 or 2 students from every school applying, but we are also introducing the communications pathway to dozens more at every time when we send someone out. So we're trying to reach out to about 20, 25 different schools in the Triangle region over these 3 months before the application period opens for this year. And that's it's a sneaky way of helping to get our messaging out, even if someone doesn't participate in the program. So the heart of the program for us was to give every student group a challenge. And so every year we're going to have a unique challenge. The first year when we sort of reinvented the program, we thought it made a lot of sense to ask the students, you know, who would know the target audience the best, how can we more effectively market this program to your peers in 2020? And the goals here were multiple. One was to help them through the strategic process, starting with a creative or strategy brief, talking to them about how they might weigh different tactics and then enable them to make some recommendations that play to their strengths. Some of these students had experience producing videos, so we let them go in that direction. Some of the students had done a lot of social media, so they did that. Others had design experience, so they actually created some memes or some posters that they could put in their schools, things like that. So it was great to see students really responding to the challenge together and wrestling with, how do we help educate people just like us about this kind of program? And those ideas all flowed back to the program and the planning committee so that we could implement them for year two. So that's really the heart of the program, and I'll get into a little bit more of what happens during the week in a second. But real quickly, we had the way the week is structured is there's an orientation day on Saturday, and you can see the brief agenda here for that. The goal of the orientation day is just 3 hours where you have the parents and the student come in and meet the agency representatives. So the goals are you want the students to meet each other, you want the students to meet their agency partners, their hosts. You also want the parents to be reassured that they're giving, they can feel more comfortable about giving their children over for 1 week to this agency, and that they feel confident that this is a great opportunity. It also tried to push them into a strategic mindset, the kind of mindset that would help them succeed at an agency. So we did some exercises, and then we had a former participant in the program who just graduated college talk about her experience and really helping the students to get the most out of it as possible. So that all happens on Saturday morning. That's the only time all of the interns are together in all the agencies. Then during the work week, the students worked Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 2 p.m., which can vary depending on whether the agency wanted to do shorter or longer. So part of the time was students working on that challenge and figuring out how they would even approach that with the agency's guidance. And then second, and I'll be more specific about this in a second, agencies were expected to provide professional development opportunities spread throughout the week. Then on Friday, families of the students were invited in, and the students presented their challenge responses to their agency hosts and their families. So it was fantastic seeing their parents and the rest of the agency get to hear their ideas and the sophistication of their presentation skills and things like that. And it was a really great moment for that just to be focused on, the two students that we had here at Echo and Vaughn.
Matt, can you talk a little bit about the professional development opportunities that each agency was supposed to provide, what that looked like?
You are so good at queuing me up here. Yes. So professional development, in my mind, is the most important thing that we are, in addition to helping the students, think about what a career is like here. I wanted to make sure that they were taking away tangible things to help them in their job search, regardless of whether they pursued a career in communications. So during the week, we gave them a resume and interview workshop. This is something we do for all our fellows or interns here at Echo and Vaughn. So that was easy to replicate for them. And we helped them walk through both of our interns were in high school, so they have very limited resumes. And so we helped them think that through. We also told them about how to use LinkedIn, which is a great differentiator for someone who's in high school and hasn't yet built their profile out on the platform, likely. We talked about the role of the creative or strategy brief. We talked about how our agency approached problem solving. And then we brought in, since we're an agency that's full service strategic communications, but we don't have creatives in-house, we actually brought folks, freelance partners in, to talk to the interns a couple of times during the week. So we had a art director come in and talk about his creative process and why he pursued this line of work. We had a web developer come in. We had a social media manager and a video producer all meet with the interns during the week. And that really helped, I think, to demonstrate value to the interns themselves. When we recruit agencies, so right now, in addition to recruiting students, we're trying to recruit agencies. The expectations we have for them are that they need to attend that Saturday orientation. provide the interns with space to work, and sometimes the students don't come with a computer, so you need to provide that to them as well. You need to provide them strategic guidance on the challenge, you know, how to even approach this sort of problem. As I said, you need to provide ongoing professional development. You need to be able to host the families on Friday, typically with a lunch. You give a $100 stipend to each student who participates, and then you report any, you know, best practices back to the program. So that's the overview of the program. As I said, we're in year two right now. So year one was recruitment in early 2019, and then June 2019 was when we executed the first week of this program. We had seven agencies participating with the support of NCPRSA, the Triangle Chapter of ADFED, and Triangle Chapter of AMA, all as supporting organizations. And then we had 19 students the first year around. So our goal is to significantly grow the number of students, because we've definitely got capacity to take on, say, up to 30 or 40 students spread across the agencies in groups of three or four. So with that, I'll pause and ask if there are any questions.
Matt, what kind of adjustments are you making based on the feedback you got from both the students as well as the agencies for the year ahead?
Sure. So there were some like expectation setting that I think we could have done a better job at. You know, for instance, the students all showed up on day one not knowing whether they were going to be provided with lunch or not. Many expected that lunch would be provided since it was 9 to 2. And so we realized we need to just put it on the agencies to communicate, are you going to provide lunch to the students every day? You know, I think we realize that the students are capable of a lot when they're working in a team. And so I think the challenge in year two is going to be a step harder for them to take on. We're, you know, one of the ideas we're thinking about is Raleigh's got a new sort of central park that it's developing. It's just right now just empty land. And so there's all these opportunities to engage the community and make sure it's serving all of the audiences of the city. So that might be something that they can tackle. How do you communicate this? How do you engage community members in that process? Those were two big ones. We also learned that, you know, in the past, in the old iteration, they brought everybody together for a closing program where every student presented their work. And that would have been really repetitive, I think, in this situation, since they're all responding to the same challenge. It also would have felt less special. I loved the moment when you can look over and see the two students' parents, observing them and watching them with pride, that my students have this level of understanding of a really complicated topic, and that they're really thinking strategically and producing great work on behalf of an agency.
That's great. Other questions?
Hi, this is Cassandra Mitchell. I'm the, I'm a professor at Shaw University, but I'm a newly appointed board member. And I guess I'm the diversity and inclusion chair of the committee for our chapter, the North Carolina chapter. So I'm happy to be on this call today and happy to be working with Matt. And thanks for the shout out.
Of course, Sandy, you guys have been such great partners throughout.
Yeah, this is a great, great initiative. And I'm happy that we as a chapter are, you know, supporting this and standing behind you. We're providing some funds again this year for the orientation. And I'm collecting swag bags and items as we speak to have things for the students for that orientation session. So I'm happy and excited. I wanted to ask you, though, you know, because I believe that inclusion is an ongoing process. And just wondering about membership, did you have any individuals who graduated and were replaced or placed in employment positions through this pipeline? And are they becoming members as a result? Just curious.
Yes. So we have one amazing story. I'm not sure if there are others out there, but we had one of our partner agencies had been helping us with designing decks like you see today. And he just got too busy with work. Their agency has been downsizing, so he didn't have the bandwidth to take it on. And so one of the employees of APCO, which you know has a local office in Raleigh, came up and her name's Nicole. She came up to me after the most recent NCPRSA diversity event and asked to be involved and said she had design experience. So I asked her if she'd be willing to take on the project of redesigning this deck for outreach in 2020, and she gladly accepted. But when I described the program, she said, "I think I've done this." And in fact, she was the first winner of one of the scholarships as a result of the program, and now she's working at APCO and she's on our planning committee. So that just felt like that was meant to be and meant to come back together. You know, obviously there's a lead time here because these students are still in high school, and so it'll be 4, 5, 6 years before they would be eligible to take a real job in an agency. So it's pretty exciting to see someone from the earliest days of this program become a part of the leadership team now.
Yeah, and I think that's perfect. That's exactly what I was trying to figure out, you know, how we can maybe track our progress with this, because I'm sure that it'll be more success stories just like hers. So that's excellent.
Yeah.
Other questions for Matt or Cassandra? Well, this sounds like a tremendous success, a tremendous way to think about inclusion and diversity and really make it tangible and create those experiences to build that pipeline all the way back to right. to high school, to get people aware of what you do in this role, what kinds of opportunities are there, because there isn't just one communication professional identity
right.
there. So that this seems very repeatable across our chapters in some form or fashion.
Yeah, and I would be happy if any of you are thinking about an iteration of this program in your local chapter, I am happy to discuss it further, you know, talking about some of the roadblocks we faced, how we addressed funding for the program, things like that. I'd be happy to chat further with you.
Great. Last call for questions. All right, Matt, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Thank you,
Of course.
Last couple of
Great
minutes
to talk
here.
To you all.
Thank you, Matt. Last couple of minutes here. Want to talk about some upcoming chapters, events as they are scheduled today. As always, stay tuned based on the current situation. Happy hour coming up in South Carolina. North Carolina's got a program, Experience Versus the Consumer. Tar Heel coming up next week when your company has a big change to communicate, don't we all? Charlotte's got Emotional Intelligence Storytelling. The Tri-Cities will have an event at the Bristol Motor Speedway. And Nashville is celebrating Women's History Month here at the end of the month. I want to put a plug in here for the Charlotte Communication Symposium, their annual professional development conference. Two great speakers there that if you follow the district on Twitter, you've seen a lot about this. One on crisis communication, the other on ROI. That is coming up on Thursday, April 23rd. We'll have some folks from the Charlotte chapter speaking to us a little bit more about that next month at our call. Assuming that that large gathering of people remains on the calendar. A couple of webinars I want to mention. If you have aspiration and interest in serving on the National Board of Directors, there are two conference calls next week, one for officers and one for directors, really to discuss qualifications, expectations, and the process. If you are interested in some more information about that, you can reach out to Mindy or me for more information about that. The Nuts and Bolts webinar was so successful that PRSA is having another one here at the end of the month on business continuity. So making sure that all your ducks in a row in terms of passive financial bookkeeping, document storage, anything and everything to approach your chapter like a business. That's coming up at the end of the month. I think Michael sent out a reminder email about that earlier today. So encourage you to register or get your appropriate members of your board to register for that. And then the second of the Assembly Delegate webinars is coming up at the end of April. The one a couple of weeks ago I thought was very good, a good dialogue between leadership and understanding the way PR professionals' lives and their occupations are changing. This next one will focus on new professionals and what skills are most relevant, what experiences, what value is most important to those new professionals coming along so that PRSA can continue to provide value as those professionals grow up in their roles. The call for entries deadline for ICON is this Sunday, So if you have a burning idea, a great pitch, now's your chance to get it in. Certainly registration continues for that October event. As always, you'll never miss a best practice call. We have the materials. We'll put the slides up, as well as the audio and the video replay, up at prsasoutheast.org. You can also get it through our podcast, wherever you listen to podcasts. I got a member survey earlier yesterday, really with some insight on industry and needs. I know there was one planned, so others may have gotten that, but want to flag that to keep an eye on that if you've not gotten it already. And still working on a topic for next month's best practice call, but that'll be coming up on April 8th at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Central. I've tried to keep these to 30 minutes to be respectful of your time. I certainly appreciate it. We certainly appreciate Matt being able here for the call. And with that, I will call us to a close. Thank you all. Be safe, and we will talk to you next month.